Amen. Now, we've been preaching, and I'm going to continue to preach tonight about this attack from Gaza and what this attack means to you. And I want to say tonight that sometimes we look at these things in kind of an abstract way, and we kind of don't think about them as touching our lives because it's happening over the ocean, over the big pond. But you know, it's interesting. I got out of church today after preaching this second message on Psalm 83. I got out of church and I went to get some gas. And as I was going to get some gas, I got a text from my son in California. And he says, "Hi, Dad, I imagine you're about to start morning service." Now, morning service was, when he sent the track, he was exactly right when he sent the text. But I got it after I finished morning service. But he said, a prayer request from Lisa as she has family now headed to fight on the Gaza Strip. She's asking for prayer. So I thought I'd share. Please see her text below. And this is from a lady. She has been a friend of our family for a long time. She was a lady that was a runner-up to Miss Teen USA back in the day. She loves our family and has reached out to us, very close to my wife, and has spent a lot of time talking to my wife. She's a Jewish girl with a Jewish father and mother and Jewish relatives. She married a guy they're both in the movie industry out in California and television and all that. But this lady, we have been praying for her salvation, This girl, Lisa, her name is. But here's what her text said, and it relates to this third message tonight on Psalm 83. She said, "Please have your family pray." She's writing my son in California. "Please have your family pray." Jewish girl. "I'm terrified and so angry. My cousins who've been out of the army for several years." Now, when I say out of the army, the Israeli army. They're in Israel. They're citizens of Israel. And, of course, in the Israeli army, men and women both are required to fight, right? "Please, I am terrified. My cousins who have been out of the army for several years were recruited today to the front lines. This is now personal, as I'm very close with the three that went to Gaza today, and two of them are parents. I am beside myself. What we discuss might be right. Your dad could have been right all along about the Jewish people. This is so scary!" Exclamation point. Well, pray for Lisa. Pray for her family. Pray for the Jewish people that have been attacked and are in the midst of this. And tonight, I want to preach on part three of what does the attack from Gaza means to you. And you can already see it's personally touching us. It's touching my family. And I want to start out by a conversation I had with Bob Bajeski this morning after the message. And Bob thought it would be good if more people would hear this message. And we can only trust God with that. But he commented on verse 18 of this chapter and this war that is erupting in the Middle East. And he commented on it, and he said that this is the purpose of the war. And I said, "Bob, that's very interesting that you would mention that," because I said that's the very thing that I had in my sermon to mention this morning, and I didn't get to it. So I'll start with it tonight. Verse 18 of Psalm 83, what's the purpose of this war from God's standpoint? Well, I'll read it. You can follow. It says in verse number 18 of Psalm 83, "That men may know that thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, art the most high over all the earth." You see, God raised up Israel as a testimony to his faithfulness, to his promises. God raised up the nation of Israel as a testimony to the nations of the world and to bring salvation, because Jesus himself said salvation is of the what? The Jews. And our Savior came from the Jewish people. And so this war where God protects Israel, this war where God is faithful to his promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and expands the boundaries and borders of Israel, which we haven't got to yet, but we will get to it. This war is for the very purpose that men may know that thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, art the Most High over all the earth. Isn't this interesting that a Jewish girl in this attack from Gaza, and seeing her family have to go to war, that this Jewish lady, who is a mother of three children, that this mother is saying, your dad may be right all along. And she remembers hearing about the God of the Jewish people. And she's Jewish, and her family are citizens of Israel. But you see, she's recognizing that we may be right. And we are right because we're preaching the word of God. And God wants to use this to save Lisa. I believe God wants to use this to save other Jewish people in Israel. I believe God wants this to be used to save other people. And not only that, I believe God wants to use this to save some Islamic people. Because you see, it says here that men may know that thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, art the Most High. In your King James Bible, the word Jehovah is capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. And that is the God who made a covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to give Israel the land, the promised land, and to give Israel the Messiah that would save the world. God made that promise. And his name is Jehovah, capital L-O-R-D. By the way, can I say that it is not Allah?
Right. Amen.
Can I say that it's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, not the God of Ishmael and Esau and the Arab people, Allah now, that they're worshiping that God? No, you have to realize salvation of the Jew. But what do you do if you hate the Jew? You humble yourself. And you say, wait a minute, God has chosen Israel, not just to save Israel, but to save the other sons of Abraham. But you got to humble yourself to accept that. And if you're so hateful and you're going against, and I've seen people in the church, God wants to use somebody spiritually in their life, and they're so jealous and so envious of what God has blessed, they won't humble themselves and benefit from that person and what God has. And that's the way it is with Israel here. But God is going to bless Israel in the land when all these people are trying to kill them and destroy them because of jealousy, because of hatred. And make no mistake about it, this attack from Gaza was hatred. When you cut babies' heads off and you do this that they did to over 1,000 people, over 1,300 people, that is just hatred and envy. And it's been going on since the days of Ishmael and Esau. And so let them be confounded, and that men may know that thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, you're the Most High. And so as we lead into this third message, what this attack from Gaza means to you, it does mean, I believe, that God wants to show that he is real, he's alive, and he is going to save people and bless people, and he's going to use Israel. Now, you say, well, how do you know? God used Israel to get me saved. When I got saved, I was in Sunday school at church, and I was not listening to the Sunday school teacher. I was not listening to the pastor at that time. But when I found out that Israel won the Middle East Six-Day War, I was like, wow, this Bible is true. Wow, the God of Israel is real. And I was in a church that didn't believe in that. But I knew he was real. And I started listening to my grandmother when she told me about the Lord, and I got saved that very summer. And so this whole thing, this attack, means that you're going to be able to witness and use this to witness and lead people to Christ. And we looked and have been looking at the first two messages on the motive of the attack. And we said the motive of the attack was what? I'm going to ask one of the men to tell me, just to be sure, what is the motive of the attack by these Islamic jihadists over in Israel?
To remove Israel's name off the face of the earth.
Yes, to remove Israel's name off the map of the Middle East, to remove them from the face of the earth, to get them out of the Middle East and out of their promised land, so that the sons of Ishmael and of Esau can enjoy that land and not have that stinking Jew over there that God chose. That's it. That's right. And so that's the way it is. And then we said, not only do we see the motive, but number two, we said, we began to look at calling out the names of the people involved in the attack. And by the way, the first name on the list that we called out for the names of these people, I believe give the key to the whole thing. And the first one we called out was, let me get this again, one of the men tell me, who is the first name on that Psalm 83 list, verses 6 through 8? What's the first one, Dr. Luke?
The Palestinians.
The Palestinians, called the tents or tabernacles of Edom. They are the first one. Why is that important? Well, because the Arab people, the jihadist people, they are using the Palestinian problem to set off this war in the Middle East and to gender up hatred for Israel. They're saying, oh, the Palestinians, they are being abused by Israel. Israel's keeping them down. But the fact of the matter is, it was the Islamic Arab people that promised the Palestinians that lived around Israel that if you leave your houses, we'll destroy the Jews, we'll give you their houses and your houses. And they're the ones that won't take them in. And they're using them as a political football to get everybody to vote for them. Remember, we said the war is not just a regular war, it's an information war. And so that is key, the tabernacles of Edom. And then we said the Ishmaelites will be involved in this war. And by the way, all of these nations are an inner core of nations that surround Israel and are near neighbors of Israel. And the Ishmaelites, can one of the men tell me who, we already preached on this, but who are the Ishmaelites that will be involved in this great and final war, Brother Zeke?
Saudi Arabia.
Saudi Arabia. The Arab people are the ones that wear those, you know, long things on their head. And Saudis, you know those guys. And the Saudis are very subtle. They act like they're nice, but they're really hateful of Israel and all this. But they're sons of Abraham. And but they're not through Isaac and Jacob, and they're not in the line to provide the Messiah, and they're jealous of Israel too. But they made peace with them to get more wealth and more opportunity in the Middle East. But they're going to turn against Israel. By the way, they did in 1948. They did in 1967. They did in 1973. They joined the enemies of Israel, the Arab people and the Islamic people, and they're going to do it again in this last and final war. And so we saw them as the next ones. Now, let's go on and look again at the next one that we see here in Psalm 83. Go with me to Psalm 83. It says, not only in verse 6, we're in verse 6, not only the Ishmaelites, but he goes on of Moab and the Hagarenes. Now, we did not get to that, but we are going to call out of Moab. And in calling out Moab, we're going to come up with another country here. When you look at Moab, you're going to look at another country. And And what is that country? Well, we're going to look at Moab, and we see that Moab is from the country of Central Jordan. And so now we have Jordan as another country that's going to be part of this Psalm 83 war involving Israel and this country. Now, by the way, the Ishmaelites are from Saudi Arabia, and Trump made peace accords with the Saudi Arabia and the Israelites, and they're called the Abraham Accords. But you know what? Iran does not like it when the Sunni Arabs are friends with Israel. And so they're behind this war that is being stirred up in the Middle East, and they're helping through Hezbollah and through Hamas to stir up a war, especially through Hamas. And when Israel fights Hamas, they want to blame Israel, and they want to get the Saudis to break their peace with them and all these other people, so they'll go to war. And not only that, I said that Biden and Obama and the Clintons and the George Soros, the globalists, they want war in the Middle East. Now, Biden acts like, oh, I'm a friend of Israel. I'm on their side. I want to help them and all of this. But really, these people want war in the Middle East. You say, well, why do they want war? They make money off of war. They like war. Trump was trying to make peace with the Abraham Accord. They want war. They've been stirring this up. You say how? They gave money to Iran. They've been coddling Iran, helping them to develop the nuclear weapons. Now when Iran helps to launch this thing through Hamas, they then, oh, we're siding with Israel. But the fact of the matter is, they're trying to play both ends against the middle. And the Western globalists, they want to use this war to make money for themselves and to get more control and more power. They are doing it. By the way, remember Bill Clinton? I remember it. When Bill Clinton would get caught with doing something with a bimbo eruption or some bad thing that would happen, he would bomb somebody in the Middle East. And when he bombed somebody in the Middle East, people would start saying, oh, man, we got to side with the president. Our country's under baloney. These people stir up war to cover for their own sin and selfish greed. And that is what goes on. But I mentioned to you that may be the motives of people, and we already talked about the motives of the jihadist Arab people, but what about God's motive? You see, God has a plan here, and he has a plan for this war that is coming to pass, and we're going to be talking about that more as we go along. So notice that the Moabites are the people of Central Jordan, and we're going to identify the other parts of Jordan that are in this battle. But I want you to see the next one here. And the next one are the Hagarenes. And who are the Hagarenes? Well, when you think of the Hagarenes, you think of a lady by the name of Hagar. And Hagar was what kind of lady? She was an Egyptian lady, right? And so the Hagarenes are associated with the country of Egypt. Now you say, well, I thought Egypt made peace with Israel. And they did. You know when they made peace, Sarge? In 1973. Do you know why they made peace with Israel? Even though they'd gone to war with Israel in 48, they'd gone to war with Israel in 67. Why did they make peace in 73? After they went to war with Israel in 73, they made peace because they said, we can't beat them. Anwar Sadat was the head of Egypt, and I remember it very well. He went to Israel. Joe, I'm sure you remember that. He landed there in Israel. They were amazed that he did this. They gave him the peace prize for it. You know, wow, what a great guy. And he was. He was making peace with Israel. He said, enough. We fought enough. We want to make peace. Does anybody know what happened to Sadat? Joe? He got assassinated by the people who hated Israel in his own country and would not allow him to make peace with Israel, they killed him. You know, there are people that want to kill our true president, Donald J. Trump, and he is our true president, and they want to kill him. And I'm just saying to you that these people have their own agenda, and so they wanted to kill Sadat, and they did kill Sadat. But nevertheless, Egypt continued, listen, to make peace with Israel. And they have been at peace with Israel, and they've been going along with this, and these countries, Saudi Arabia had peace with Israel and so forth. And like I said, Iran didn't like this, but because Iran is a Shiite country and they don't want the Sunni Arab Muslims to go along with Israel. And so they're trying to stir up this war over there with Hamas attacking Israel. But the Egyptians are going to be part of this war. You know, it was very interesting. I noticed when this whole thing started and Hamas attacked Israel that Benjamin Netanyahu said, we are going to invade the Gaza where Hamas is. And from what our friend Lisa said, her family is now being drafted, men and women, to go fight Hamas. For the first time in 50 years, Israel has declared war. And this Egyptian leader, I heard the quote, he said, if Israel invades Hamas, Egypt will declare war on Israel. Did you hear that? You know, that's how bigger wars are started, aren't they? They're started small, just like a little fire, and it builds up. By the way, if you gossip with your tongue and say things with your tongue to people that are not part of the solution to your problem, and you're just sharing gossip, you can start a fire that the devil can use, and that can wreck a church. And that's exactly what is going on here. And so Egypt, you see, Egypt is mentioned as going to be involved in getting together with trying to get rid of Israel, and that hatred is going to overtake any desire for peace. But there's another group of people, and I'd like you to notice them in verse 7 of Psalm 83. I'll read it, you follow. It says, Gebal and Ammon and Amalek. Now, who is Gebal? Gebal is Lebanon, north and west of Israel. Now, as you're looking at Lebanon, north and west of Israel, I want you to go down to verse 7 and look at the last phrase. It says, Gebal and Ammon and Amalek, the Philistines, with the inhabitants of Tyre. Do you know where Tyre is? Tyre is a seacoast city in Lebanon. And so who is located in Lebanon right now, took over Lebanon, and Tyre, well, I wonder if anybody knows the group that's in there that's causing so much trouble. Can one of the men identify that group? Luke says he knows. Let's go with it.
The Philistines?
Not the Philistines. Who's the group that's over there? Let's try Brother Matthew.
Is it Hezbollah?
Yes, Hezbollah. It is Hezbollah. And so Hezbollah has 100, and you can see they're right up there by Lebanon and Tyre, and they have 150,000 rockets to shoot at Israel. Do you know how many Hamas has? They have 100,000. And they're starting this whole thing, but Hezbollah is the greater power. And they're a proxy of Iran, just like Hamas is, trying to stir up a war with the Sunni Muslims and Israel. That's what they want to do. And they're going to do it sooner or later. And I believe this is it. It very well may be it. I can't be dogmatic, but it may be it. And Hezbollah is part of that. That's what Gebal is. It's Lebanon where Hezbollah is now. And so I'm just calling out the different groups that are going to be involved in this war that is coming, you see, over there in Israel. Now, I want you to notice as you go back to verse 7, it says, Gebal and Ammon and Amalek. Now, look at Ammon. And if you think of Ammon, think of the word Ammon. And when you think of Ammon, remember we mentioned Moab. What would Ammon, what country would that be associated with? Ammon or Ammon? Does anybody know? One of the men tell me? Jordan. Amman, Jordan. It's the capital of Jordan. You see, Jordan is being identified as a country that's very much involved in this whole thing. By the way, do you know that Jordan, the country of Jordan, has been very close to Israel? There are a lot of descendants of Esau in Jordan, the brother of Isaac, remember? There are a lot of Palestinians that managed to get in Jordan because it's so close to Israel. Do you know who runs the Temple Mount? Israel owns the Temple Mount. They recaptured old city of Jerusalem. But who actually runs the Temple Mount under Israel? Joe?
Jordan.
The holy leaders in Jordan. Israel did that to keep peace. How silly that was. In 1967, Israel captured the old city of Jerusalem in 1967 in the Six-Day War. And the head rabbi, Shlomo Gorin, when Moshe Dayan, the Israel general, captured Jerusalem, the old city in the Temple Mount, when that happened, and he did that, Shlomo Gorin said, okay, right now let's blow up the Mosque of Omar and let's rebuild the temple. And Dayan said, if you do it, I'm going to put you in jail. And he put him under some kind of arrest so that he could not lead the people to rebuild their temple. And instead, Israel compromised with the people of Jordan and the Islamic people. And now they have control of the temple site that Israel allows to go on. But let me tell you, there are a lot of people in Israel that want their temple rebuilt. And it's very fragile. And it's just waiting for a war that would erupt over there. And that's going to cause an eruption on the Temple Mount. I'll get back to that in just a moment. But that is Amman, is northern Jordan. Moab is central Jordan. Edom is southern Jordan. So keep that in mind. Now, it's talking about Amalek. And where is Amalek? Amalek was an ancient enemy of Israel that attacked them, and they're in the Sinai. The Sinai is between Egypt and Israel. And so the people of the Sinai, the Arab Islamic people, will be involved in this war to get rid of the Jewish people. Now, Luke, you mentioned the Philistines. Does anybody know where the Philistines were located on this map? Well, you can see it there, Philistia. But what area right now is the Philistine area? What area would that be? Yes, sir.
Hamas.
Very good. Gaza, Hamas. So when he talks about that, he's talking about, hey, Hamas, isn't that in the news? Isn't that what this is all about? And so he's identifying that. But now we're not quite done yet. Don't leave me yet, because we're looking at Psalm 83 and calling out the names of these people that are working together to get rid of Israel and to attack them. And let's look at it. And it says, verse 8, Asher also is joined with them. They have helped the children of Lot, Selah. Now listen to me. Who are the children of Lot? Lot, remember, had relations with his own daughters when he was drunk, and he had the Ammonites came from one daughter and the Moabites came from the other daughter. So the children of Lot are Ammon and Moab, these two countries. They came from Lot. And the Bible says Asher is going to help the children of Lot. And we'll get back to that, but does anybody know who's represented by Asher? All right, Brother Luke, who is it? Yes, it's ancient Assyria, and it's Syria and Iraq. The nation of Syria and the nation of Iraq. And listen to me, they're going to help the children of Lot. What country is represented by the whole children of Lot? Jordan. Ammon and Moab are northern and central Jordan. And so when he says that Asher is going to help the children of Lot, that means they're going to help the country of Jordan to try to get rid of Israel and get rid of the Arab-Israeli problem after all these years and get them out of the Middle East. You see all these people working, but you know what? God is allowing it to happen. Not so that he can destroy his people, but so that his people can win. And his people can witness to the fact that their God, Jehovah. Now, I'm not saying they're all saved. No, Israel isn't saved yet. They haven't accepted their Messiah. But that the God of the Abrahamic covenant, who promised them that land, God has brought them back to that land. God is establishing them that land. God is getting them ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. God is going to establish the fact that he made that covenant with them, and the God of Allah, who is not a true God, is not going to be able to defeat them. They have more power, they have more people, but guess what? Jehovah God is going to defend Israel. You say, I don't like that. That's tough.
Right.
You're not God. Salvation's of the Jew. You don't like it. I've known Arab people, and I've just told them, suck it up, accept the Lord as your Savior, and you'll be benefited. Just acknowledge that God chose Isaac, not Ishmael. Just acknowledge God chose Jacob and not Esau. Just acknowledge that God chose the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord Jesus Christ came from a Jewish mother. And his father was God Almighty. Amen. And so tonight I'm just saying that we are talking about the God of the Bible. And you can see this girl Lisa, this lady, she's a Jewish lady. And she said, you know, your dad's been talking about Israel, the God of the Jews. And he may be right. I am right, Lisa. I am right. So turn back to the God of your fathers. And when I say your fathers, I'm talking about your great-great-great-great-grandfathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he believed in the Lord. And he believed in the Messiah that would come. And his name is Yeshua, or the Greek form is Jesus, right? And he is the Messiah. And so I believe this will lead to an opportunity to witness this war. And it's an opportunity for us to get people's attention and say, you know what? This war is happening in the Middle East, and it's going to play out, and you're going to see it play out. Now, I want to go on from there just a little bit more and give you a little bit more on this whole thing here. All right. Now, let me give you a thought about this war and what could happen in this war. If this war is the Psalm 83 war that we've been teaching on, if this turns out to be the Psalm 83, that means it's going to be the last Arab-Israeli war for the inner core of nations around Israel that started in 48, went on to 1967, went on to 1973. This one, it's starting in 2023, will be the last one. And it will be the last one because we're going to see in the last message on Psalm 83 that Israel is going to win this war. God is going to cause Israel to win this war. But this war is not going to stay where it is now. It's going to grow and go on, and it will involve other people. And let me just give you some thought on this. If Hamas keeps launching its rockets on Israel, what does Israel have set up to defend itself against those rockets? Have you ever heard of what it is? What's it called?
The Iron Dome.
The Iron Dome. Has anybody heard about the Iron Dome in the news? And they're trying to defend against those rockets. But what if Hezbollah starts launching their rockets now? It's going to come to a point where the Iron Dome possibly cannot handle all of this. And Israel is calling out, men and women to try to fight against this. But this thing is humongous. And I wonder what is going to happen. And what I'm going to say to you tonight is that Jeremiah, and I don't want you to turn there right now, Jeremiah 49, 35 to the end of the chapter tells us that this war is going to be involving in an attack on Iran. But I don't want to talk about that tonight. I'll talk about that another time. But I just want to talk about Psalm 83 now. And I want to say that, let's say, the children of Lot, which are the people of Jordan, these people, when all of this starts happening, they could be threatened with their presence on the Temple Mount and not want to lose their presence on the Temple Mount. Now, hold your finger here in Psalm 83 and go to Zephaniah. You say, where's Zephaniah? Just before Haggai and Zechariah. Zechariah is the second to last book of the Old Testament. So go to Zephaniah chapter 2, just before Haggai and Zechariah. And I want to look at two verses, Zephaniah 2. And I believe that these two verses could touch on the children of Lot, which is Jordan, Ammon, and Moab. Look at verse 8 of chapter 2. It says, I have heard the reproach of what? Moab. And the revilings of the children of Ammon. So here's Moab and Ammon, the people of Jordan, and they're reviling who? They're reviling Zephaniah's people. And who is that? Israel. And he says, I've heard that. Whereby they have reproached what? My people. And did what? Magnified themselves against their border. Now, what could very well happen? This Psalm 83 war is talking about the Jordanians joining with the Egyptians, joining with the Syrians, and so forth, to go against Israel. And you know what? The Jordanians control the Temple Mount. And if they feel that's being threatened, they may go against Jerusalem and try to make sure that they're not thrown off the ruling part of the Temple Mount. And he says here that he's heard that thing happening. And then verse 9, therefore, as I live, saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, surely Moab shall be as Sodom, and the children of Ammon as Gomorrah. Now listen to me. And it says, look at verse number 9, the rest of it. Even the breeding of nettles and salt pits in a perpetual desolation, the residue of my people shall spoil them, and the remnant of my people shall possess them. I'm talking about what's going to happen as a result of this Psalm 83 war, and Jordan may very well be involved in it and get involved in it, and this could be the end. Listen to me, this could be the end of the Temple Mount and everything just being as it's been since 1967. We've been waiting all these years, and very soon I believe that the Temple Mount, the status quo, is not going to continue. And this Psalm 83 war could change that. And this could be a prophecy that touches on that. We need to watch for that to take place. And so could this present war lead to the control of the Temple Mount by Israel again, and Jordan be defeated and knocked off that control of the Temple Mount? Now listen to me. If Jordan is threatened, it says in Psalm 83 that Asher, Syria, and go back to Psalm 83 now, I want you to look at that again, that Asher is going to help the children of Lot, Ammon and Moab. Look what it says in verse 8, Asher also has joined with them, they have hope in the children of Lot, Selah, think about that. So think with me tonight, what if Israel and Jordan get into it over that Temple Mount, And Israel is fighting this war, and Syria steps in to help, it may be overwhelming to Israel. And you say, what might happen to Syria if they fight Israel and Israel feels like it's overwhelmed? Now listen, don't miss this, because this may go off the pages of the Bible and all of a sudden hit your life. And we're talking about a huge war in the Middle East. You say, oh, that doesn't affect me. It doesn't affect my family. I'm not interested in what pastor's preaching tonight. I'm going to tune out. No, you better not tune out, because this Bible's going to come right up in your face.
Yep. Amen.
It's going to come right up in your face.
Right.
And it's going to come up in your family. It's going to come up in your home, ma'am. And I'm just trying to say to you tonight that when Syria helps out Jordan, and Egypt gets involved, and then Saudi Arabia, when this happens, Israel may feel overwhelmed, like their army, it's too much. You say, Pastor, what might happen? Well, look at Isaiah 17. Put your finger here. Go to Isaiah 17. I want to show you what I believe will happen. I believe will happen very soon. Isaiah 17. And when you get there, I want you to go in Isaiah 17. Just go to one verse, verse number 1. I'll read it. You follow along. Isaiah 17 and verse 1. It says, listen to me. The burden of Damascus, behold, Damascus is what?
Taken away
from being a city. Do you know 1/4 of the population of Syria is in Damascus? Do you know that? It will be taken away from being a city. Listen to me. Do you know Damascus is the oldest continuing city in history? That it's never been taken away from being a city? It's not happened. It said it'll be taken away from being a city. Now look at this. And it shall be a what?
Ruinous
heap. That's not happened. I want to submit to you tonight, when Israel gets overwhelmed in this war, they may have to take a weapon, some kind of nuclear device, and take out the whole city of Damascus. You say, would Israel do that? Yeah, they called the Samson weapon. When in the 73 war, Israel was being overrun by the Egyptians and by the Syrians, they were ready to launch the Samson weapon. Remember when Samson pushed the temple down and destroyed himself? And Israel said, we will take our nukes and blow this whole Middle East up. We're not going to just be like we were with the Nazis ever again. We have a state now. We have a nation now. We're going to stand up. That's why the women even go with guns, because they are fighting for their life. Do you know I've seen Jewish women, leftist young ladies, and they're saying, they hate us. They're trying to kill us. You recognize that now, young lady? But how about you leftist Jewish ladies that are on the university campus when some conservative comes to speak to them? Oh, that's hate speech. We won't let you talk. They hate us. It's time to wake up. Yeah, the devil does hate you.
Yep.
You are God's chosen people to bring forth the kingdom of God on earth. You better wake up. Yes, the devil hates you. Yes, this is real. And so I'm just simply saying to you that Israel, I believe, will take out Damascus with a nuclear weapon. And I want you to notice verse 2 of Isaiah 17. It says, the cities of Aurora are forsaken. They shall be for flocks, which shall lie down, and none shall make them afraid. The fortress also, verse 3, shall cease from Ephraim. Now, this is talking about a nuclear bomb that doesn't just blow up Damascus. It actually hurts northern Israel. Ephraim, Aurora. It's going to destroy part of northern Israel, turn it back into pasture land. Why? Because Israel is fighting for its existence. But it doesn't go on, it doesn't just stay there with Damascus. I want you to see that there's another scripture here. And another prophecy that I believe touches on this, and it is in Jeremiah 49, not Iran. Go to Jeremiah 49, verse 2. Go to Jeremiah, keep your finger here. Go to Jeremiah 49, 2. And I'm going to give you another scripture. And here's what it says there. In verse 2, therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will cause an alarm of war to be heard in Rabbah of the Ammonites, and it shall be a desolate heap, and her daughters shall be burned with fire. Then shall Israel be heir unto them that were his heirs, saith the Lord. I believe this prophecy touches on Psalm 83. Do you know who the Ammonites are? Jordan. Ammon, Jordan. And it says, that shall become a ruinous heap. I am saying to you that when Israel takes out Damascus in Syria with a nuclear bomb, I believe they may very well take out Ammon in Jordan. You say, when? In this Psalm 83 war. And when that happens, what is going to happen in the Middle East? These countries that are these Islamic countries that have attacked Israel is going to say, man, they've got nuclear weapons. They mean business. They're using them. They're not kidding around. What about Mecca? What about Saudi? What about Cairo? And there's going to be an all-out war. Is this it? I'm not sure, but it may be it. I'm just saying, an all-out war in the Middle East. And God is in control of this. But you need to be aware of these prophecies that I believe touch on Psalm 83. And so what am I saying? That if this is the fulfillment of the Psalm 83 war, it will lead to a broader war. And I am talking about this young Jewish lady, a mother with her kids, Lisa, our friend, and others in her family. And they have the opportunity to learn from this war that the God of Israel is real, and to accept their Messiah. We've been witnessing for that. Jewish people in Scranton have the opportunity to get saved. People, you see, that when they realize that God is not Allah, that God is not a false God, he is the God of Israel. That doesn't mean every Israelite is saved, but God is keeping his promises to the nation to give them their protection and their Abrahamic covenant in these days since World War II. He's doing that. Beloved, it's an opportunity for you and I to witness for Christ. And I want to end here tonight, but I want to say this to you, that the next message, I'm going to talk about the rest of Psalm 83 and what God says about what that war is going to lead to, how that war is going to affect the Middle East, how that war is going to affect our world that we're living in right now. And I believe this is leading up into the end times, and I want to keep going until the end times. Listen, it's time for us to wake up and realize this Bible is real, and this God is real. Amen and amen. Let's bow for prayer, every head bowed, every eye closed. Perhaps you've not been interested in prophecy. Perhaps when the